Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is loading. SteveJonesShow.com audio is sponsored by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call them at 800-609-9484 or visit them online at REWfinancial.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And good Thursday, everybody. And day one of the NFL draft is tonight. Round one taking place this evening. We'll have it for you here on News Radio 1070 WKOK beginning at 8 o'clock tonight. We welcome you to the Steve Jones Show, SJS, for this Thursday. Brought to you, as always, by our good friend Rick Weibel, New Orleans Saints fan extraordinaire. Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484. You can go online to REWfinancial.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And the Hilsch's General Store hotline open to take those draft questions at 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Hilsch's General Store. 7 miles south of Sealands Grove on routes 11 and 15. Go to www.hilscherstore.com. It opens up with Kansas City tonight. That'll be Jacksonville after that. The Eagles have the 4th pick. The Steelers the 17th pick this evening. And again, you'll hear the NFL draft right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Kevin and I will go through the draft. We'll talk about the possibilities. Kevin wants to get safeties and corners for the Steelers. I want them to get an impact player. It's everybody has their own ideas of what they want to do with this thing. The Eagles have the 4th pick, and they will be probably looking for an offensive lineman, probably a tackle, to open up. But rounds 2 and 3 will take place on Friday, and we'll get Tony DeFazio from the Pittsburgh Sports Report on Friday's show to evaluate the Steelers' first-round pick. We'll do that and much more, what they might be looking for in rounds 2 and 3, but that's on tomorrow's show. First of all, above the noise, here's Dan Patrick.
Here at REW Financial, we strive every day to bring the best opportunities to the table to enhance your financial future in a comfortable, no-pressure environment. We know the importance of gaining and keeping the highest level of trust from you, our community of clients and friends. We are in Brook Park Farm, Lewisburg. Call 800-609-9484 or visit us at rewfinancial.com. REW Financial, empowering freedom, one family at a time.
Securities and advisory services offered through United Planners Financial Services, member FINRA, SIPC. REW Financial is a DBA of REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC, and neither are affiliated with United Planners.
I really need a used car.
Sunbury Motors has lots full of used cars.
But it has to be a good used car.
Well, they're not good.
What?
They're great. Sunbury Motors has over 300 used vehicles to choose from. Cars, SUVs, and trucks so good, we wouldn't sell them if we wouldn't drive them. That's probably why we consistently sell over 200 cars a month. And when it comes to new, Sunbury Motors is the largest Ford dealership in the central Susquehanna Valley. Sunbury Motors makes buying a new car easy with a huge inventory and lots of choices.
And I'm a smart shopper, and I know what the price should be for the car I want.
Well, here at Sunbury Motors, you get our lowest price promise. We research prices on used cars so much that if you find a better deal, we'll beat it. That's a promise. So here's your keys.
Thanks.
Take a test drive today at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and our Kia dealerships at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Shop 24/7 and see our inventory at sunburymotors.com. That's sunburymotors.com. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Right now at the Home Depot, you can save 10% on any appliance of $397 or more. Get the best new features and ideas from top brand names like Maytag, Samsung, and LG. From washers and dryers to ranges, fridges, and freezers, you can dream big without disturbing your wallet. Thanks to 10% off any new appliance of $397 or more. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through May 1st. U.S. only. See store for details.
Everyone's a winner in the Lots of Loot sweepstakes going on now at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Now through May 28th, lucky winners can receive a $50, $100, or $1,000 Visa gift card in the daily drawing, plus $5 instant win prizes and coupons. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. No purchase necessary. See O'ReillySweeps.com for official rules and details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts. Hello, I'm Cindy Bonowitz with the Bowen Agency, and I'm excited. Spring is here, and that means flowers, birds, and Phillies baseball. Whether you're a buyer who wants to take advantage of the lowest interest rates and pre-inflation prices, or a seller, give me a call, and you and I and my broken foot will explore the exciting world of real estate.
Bowen Agency Realtors in Sewens Grove, Lewisburg, and Sunbury. On the web at bowenagency.com. Coming or going, see a realtor at Bowen.
There's now a video newscast that covers the Central Susquehanna Valley, powered by News Radio 1070 WKOK. Each weekday, Sarah Bartlett brings you the WKOK.com afternoon update with the latest local news and weather delivered right to your PC or mobile device. From WKOK.com, head to our YouTube page, click subscribe, and have the roundup sent your way every day. The WKOK.com afternoon update, yet another way to find news online all the time at WKOK.com.
They play on frozen tundras to sunbathed stadiums. They are treated as conquering heroes, and then treated as pawns in the Kevin Herr fantasy game. There are the members of the National Football League.
I don't remember John Facenda saying that. And I've listened to a lot of those.
I met John Facenda.
I know. I remember that. That was one of our story time with Steve's. That was a great one.
Yes. I'm John Facenda. I'm like, well, of course you are.
Yeah, you don't need to say that. Just say hi. I could get it from that.
Well, of course you are. Well, welcome to the show. It's great to have you with us here on this Thursday. It is draft day. This is the day that Kevin whines, moans, and will complain about the possible Steeler draft choice. And then as we go through, and then if they don't pick the guy he wants, tomorrow is really going to be exciting.
Yeah, boy. Well, last year's pick may have been a great pick in the long term, but the short-term first-round pick didn't quite pan out yet. I realize that's not their fault for picking him. I understand that. It's just something that happens.
It's not his fault
either. I know. It's just one of those things that kind of makes you sit back and go, well, last year's first round hasn't done so well yet. But, again, loads of time in his career.
I realize life is an instant grade.
Well, I live in an instant society now.
I live in a patient world. I live in one that kind of looks at it and says, you know what? Let's see how it pans out over the next 4 or 5 years. Then I make up my mind as to whether it was good or not.
Patient? That's an understatement.
Well, you don't think I'm patient?
No, that's an understatement. I mean,
that I'm patient?
Yeah.
Yes.
Laid back, let's see, relaxed.
Very much so.
I need my thesaurus to do a better job here with these analogies.
It's all good. I say if they draft Jarvis Jones tonight, they're golden.
Trade it. All right, Jarvis Jones, here you go. Here's the 411 on Jarvis Jones.
Jarvis Jones, Georgia, outside linebacker, 6'3", 245.
Snap to Brantley. He's going to be chased and sacked again, third time by Jarvis Jones.
Jones led the nation last season with 14.5 sacks, 24.5 tackles for loss, and 7 forced fumbles. He is one of the most accomplished defensive playmakers in this draft, thanks to an explosive burst, surprising strength, and great timing. But all of that production came as a 3-4 outside linebacker. He may be better as a pass-rushing 4-3 end on the next level. Jones also brings with him a spinal issue that led to him transferring out of USC.
There you go.
So what makes you nervous? The athletic ability, the production?
You weren't listening to the man, were you?
It's irrelevant.
You weren't here.
He may be better as a pass rushing 4-3 end.
This is the part that made me nervous.
Jones also brings with him a spinal issue that led to him transferring out of USC.
That's the part that made me nervous.
I'd take him.
Okay.
The difference between you and me is as follows. Okay? I have no dog in the hunt.
That's true. That's very true, actually.
So when I sit there and I talk about the Eagles' draft choice, or I talk about... You'll have to take the echo up, by the way.
How's that?
That's a little bit better. It's a little easier for me to...
No, it's more entertaining on our end, though.
But when you look at the Eagles draft pick or the Steelers draft pick, I can tell you objectively, and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, what I think about it at that moment. Because I'm not sitting there going and wearing it on my sleeve. Now, you're more entertaining than I am. Far more entertaining.
Yes, I believe. What was the word you used earlier, that you are patient? Is that what it was?
Yes.
Accommodating, calm, composed, easygoing, even-tempered, forbearing, forgiving, indulgent, mild-tempered, persevering, persistent. Oh, wait, quiet. Well, that's not right. Get that one out of there. Tolerant. Oh, forget that one. That one doesn't work either.
Tolerant? I'm tolerant.
Just kidding. All right. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not saying he's not a good player. And I'm not saying that's not a need for the Steelers. It absolutely is a need for the Steelers. As a matter of fact, the Steelers have more needs in this draft than any draft I can think of. I mean, cornerback, running back, wide receiver, safety, defensive end, linebacker, cornerback. I mean, name a spot, and I think the Steelers could use somebody there. Now, is Jarvis Jones going to be a solid outside linebacker in a 3-4, which he came from in Pittsburgh? I don't think there's any question that he could be. The question is, can he play more than 2 years? Can he play 3 years? Is he one injury away from ending his career? And do you want to take a first-round pick and roll the dice with it that way? Is there more upside than downside when it comes to him?
And how many years did he play at Georgia?
Was it three?
3 years. And he's had how many spinal issues in 3 years?
He had the one, I believe, as a freshman.
At USC.
At USC.
He's had how many in 3 years at Georgia?
None that I'm aware of.
And the redshirt year?
Well, I don't think he had any in the redshirt year.
Well, you practice in the redshirt year.
I would be safe saying none in his college career after his very first year at USC.
Interesting.
Here's the other problem. Pittsburgh has all these needs. They have, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 picks. Not counting the first round picks. Not counting the first round. They have 7 picks.
Yeah.
Needs include 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 different positions. Now, what are the chances of being able to even remotely fill those needs with 7 picks?
Well, you'd start with, pick number 1, which then with 7 more after that by filling an outside linebacking need.
Now, my thought is that I think I think he'll be around longer. So you take that first round.
Longer?
Pick.
I'm telling you right now, here's my biggest wish: if I were Pittsburgh, they'd be taken before.
I still trade that 17th pick. I still trade the 17th pick and then work your way into another second pick, maybe a fourth, and get another first round in 14. I think you can get a 2 and a 4 and then a first round in 14 for that first round pick. if it's the right, if you can find the right team. Now, I'd be willing to give up the fourth round and take the second now and the first in 2014.
Let me ask you something.
Uh-huh.
What is one of the great teachers in life?
Experience or history?
Experience and history, yes. How many times have the Steelers done that?
I think the last time they did it was when they drafted Polamalu. They traded up to do that.
Yes, they did. That's it. There's your answer.
Yeah, but it's a whole new mindset now.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's a whole new mindset now.
No, they didn't bring you in to run. This is not fantasy land, fantasy draft. They brought you in, and suddenly out of nowhere, hey, great, Kevin's running the draft. Hey, fabulous. Right? One panic move after another.
Well, and the other thing that makes me nervous is the Ravens have, what, 14 picks? They're the Super Bowl champs, and they have 14 picks?
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, they don't pick very often in the first and second, or very early in first and second rounds. Matter of fact, I think they're obviously the 32nd pick in the first round, 62 in the second, what, somewhere in the 90s in the third round.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But then they have 130, 165, 168, 199, 200, 203. I mean, those. I like those fourth and fifth rounds.
Yes, but they can't. They can't draft all those players.
Why can't Why can't they? Is there a? Explain to me the numerical issue there that I'm not seeing. I'm sure it's something simple.
There is a rookie salary cap. You can't split it that many ways.
Okay.
Right. I apologize ahead of time for knowing the rules.
I did. It's not that I didn't know the rules. I just didn't look at it that way. I didn't look at it as a salary cap issue.
In the end, it's all about paper. Now,
how many times have you told me that in the last year and a half?
Ooh, you should start listening. Nothing like paper. Pirates and Phillies 3-3, top of the eighth inning.
Oh, brother. Who's on the mound?
I don't know. I didn't even look. Dodgers and Mets 1-1 in the bottom of the eighth at Citi Field. Could see the Dodgers playing on the east this early in the year. Detroit leads Kansas City 3-2 in the top of the seventh at Comerica Park.
Question is, who do the Phillies have on the mound, and is there a chance that they could still come back? I thought that last night, and I was wrong.
The game is tied.
It was tied last night, too.
You're a bitter, bitter man. Bitter. It's still Cliff Lee.
Now, there's some hope.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
The guy's hitting a buck 40 and they beamed him.
You are such a bitter man.
A punt beamed a buck 40 hitter.
You know, you have any idea how entertaining you are? For me to sit here every day and you live and die on every single pitch.
I'm a fan, okay? I admit it. Barmas came up with one out in the top of the eighth for the Pirates. He's hitting a buck 43. And on the first pitch, at least I'm pretty sure it was the first pitch, he gets beaned and is on first base. That may be the first time he's been on first base in the entire month.
Yeah. See, listening to you is really, it's remarkable.
But see, here's the problem. Now you bring up now Snyder's on with a runner, or not, Snyder's up with one out and a runner on. hitting 300, and Marte's on deck.
Oh, yeah.
Now you're getting into the heart of the Pittsburgh lineup.
There's no doubt about that.
How do you bean a guy in the first pitch?
Well, you throw it at him.
Well, thank you for that bit of insight. Doesn't get any better than that, folks. He's not the best talk show host in the country for nothing.
So Dick and I will do that sometimes, and I'll say, the only Keys have to be, he says, if they can score and then shut them out, I think they'll win. I said, God, you're good. The Chick-fil-A people were told that they had to put the Peach Bowl back in the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. It's been the Chick-fil-A Bowl for a while in Atlanta. Well, they got into this semifinal rotation, and they were told that they had to put the peach back in it, which is fun. I think they're trying to identify, because you have the Rose Bowl, the Sugar Bowl, they all have, the Rose Bowl is presented by Vizio, the Sugar Bowl is the All-State Sugar Bowl. Was it AT&T as a Cotton Bowl, I think?
AT&T as a Cotton Bowl, and it's not...
Tostitos has the Fiesta Bowl.
It's not FedEx for the Orange Bowl. Who is it now?
Discover.
Discover, that's right.
And then Chick-fil-A has the Peach Bowl. So, because they want them all identified that way. And what they're going to do is when they go through the 2014 season on New Year's Eve, they're going to... have the Orange Bowl, the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl, and the Fiesta Bowl. And then they're going to play the Cotton Bowl on January 1st, 2015. And then they're going to have the two semifinal games, which will be the Rose Bowl first. And this has it out of order. The Rose Bowl will be first. The Rose Bowl will maintain its 4:30 time slot at night. Then the championship game will be January 12th. In Arlington. Then in 16, they will play the semifinals in the Cotton Bowl and the Orange Bowl on New Year's Eve. And again, the Rose and Sugar stay in their spot. The Rose and Sugar are always going to be January 1st. And it's always going to be the Rose Bowl at 4:30 and always the Sugar Bowl at 8:30. In 17, then they go to January 2nd, and the semifinal games are the Peach Bowl and the Fiesta Bowl. And the championship games are still to be announced. That's how they're going to do it.
I didn't even remember the fact that the Peach Bowl was taken out of that. I've always called it the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. I didn't even recognize the fact that the Peach Bowl wasn't in there anymore.
Right, yeah, well, they had to. They had to put it back in. They were told right off the bat they had to put it back in. So they put it back in, which, I'm sure they had no problem doing that. They're like, hey. Now, expect Tampa to be a serious bidder for 2016. Expect San Diego to be a serious bidder as well. That's one thing that's interesting about this. The championship game is not married to the six bowl games. It's only the semifinals. So they're going to independently farm that out. As an example, say Ford Field in Detroit wanted it. They could bid. It's only the semifinals that rotate among the six games.
The update from Philadelphia, base is loaded right now. And let's see, I think there's one out.
A double play, they're out of it.
Inge is coming up.
They beat him last night.
Yep.
Sure, you're kind of a bitter guy, aren't you?
Oh, Garrett Jones is going to pinch hit.
Who's pitching?
Felipe. I'm not sure how much longer he's going to be pitching, though.
Dougie McDermott, by the way, is going to return to Creighton. He's not going to enter the NBA draft. Well, I tell you, I like him as a player. I really do. You know, got to see him play down in Philadelphia. I liked him a lot. And he has a really nice game to him. There's a lot of wasted motion or wasted time with his game. You're watching the game, aren't you?
No, I'm watching.
You're hanging on every pitch.
I'm watching the update. I'm watching the updates from MLB.com.
You guys need to buy a TV. You really do.
Actually, I'm kind of glad that I don't have one here. Because it would be worse. It would just be worse. Okay, let's talk about the draft. I can't watch this anymore. It's too depressing.
I've been trying to talk about the draft and a lot of other things. You keep bringing up the fact that your team that you love to hate struggling right now. So your big question to me has been, when did I stop?
When did you stop fandom?
Fandom. Well, one thing about doing this job is, the football, basketball, play-by-play stuff, you kind of get into that mode mentally. But the last time I really watched anything pitch-by-pitch, probably the 2004 World Series. I think after that, that was about it. Done. The Chief is on the line. Dave Ritchie, who has suffered many a night with Kevin. Chief, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Well, it's good to talk to you, Steve. And, you know, Kevin is really a fan of the Phillies, and I am too, but I don't quite get so worked up like he does. But I've been a long sufferer since 1964. That was my first year. I was 10 years old, and they lost that 10 game lead in the last couple of weeks, but I've been sticking with them ever since. So you take what you get. So
you do take what you get. They tried going with Jim Bunning, Chris Short alternately, and it didn't work.
Yes, yeah, Jim Bunning, Chris Short, and Gene Mark had managers that never won a title. All right, he just didn't. Sometimes towards the end, things fall apart for him. So
hey,
well,
Chief,
interesting story about that. Is that okay. In Game 5 of the 1986 LCS, Donnie Moore was on the mound. Reggie Jackson was playing for the Angels, and he looked at G. Mock, and he said, "Hey, Skip, congratulations. You're finally getting to the World Series." Next pitch, Dave Henderson hit it out.
Yeah. Well, that seemed to be his luck. You know, I thought he was a pretty good manager. He really was.
He was an excellent manager. So, just because he didn't win doesn't mean he wasn't.
No, that's for sure.
Hey, Chief, Garrett Jones just doubled down the line, scored two, still one out. Pirates have second and third with one out. McCutchen up. I'm not watching this anymore. This is too painful.
Well, Kevin, I'll tell you what I used to do. If the Phillies were doing poorly, I'd turn the TV and go outside, all right? You just got to get away from all that frustration. That's all there is.
I can't watch it anymore. I can't watch it.
Well, don't beat yourself up over it, all right? Steve, I had a question about the draft that I wanted to ask you if I can.
Sure.
You know, they used to do the draft on Saturday. They'd start in the afternoon, and it was a great day. You could spend the whole day watching the draft, and it was just one day. And now they do it tonight, and then they'll pick it up on Saturday. And was it to pick up ratings? I'm not quite sure. It just seems like they've split up something that was very, very good. And I don't know. I used to just like to sit and watch it all day long on Saturday. It was almost like an opening day of a football season, or like coming up to Penn State for the first big weekend.
Well, you get 3 days of it like this. You start out with tonight and with 10 minutes of pick. they'll go from 8 o'clock until after, you know, until almost 11 this evening. Then they'll pick it up at 6:30 tomorrow night with the second and third rounds, which are really important. I think they cut it down to 7 minutes per or something like that. And, you know, you get second. So you get all the analysis tomorrow what the first round picks were. You follow that up tomorrow night, and then you come back on Saturday. I think for most people it was really hard to invest all that time from noon until whatever because they were going 15 minutes a pick for one thing. And it would drag into infinity, and they were coming back with the final rounds on Sunday anyway. So to me, personal preference, I actually like this system that they have with round one tonight, a lot of drama. Then the second and third round picks actually get more importance because of the way they do it.
Yeah, I guess you know, it does work out pretty nice because instead of just one long day, you've got a couple of days and things to look forward to. And I just was a little surprised when they did it because I did not realize that many people, all right, watched the draft until I started talking to different groups. And it's not just fantasy football became so big, but I think for quite a while teams looked, especially if they were looking for a team, you know, like, for example, I would root for the Eagles. I'd see who the Eagles were going to take, and you kind of like look forward to that very much to see who they'd select.
Well, see, this is where the NFL has such a great unannounced partner in college football. College football and watching all the games on ESPN, ABC, and CBS, and occasionally NBC, you build up name recognition for these guys. And the name recognition gets to the point where when you get to draft day, we've already watched 2, 3, and 4 years of these guys, and thus there's an anticipation. We've watched Geno Smith play. We've watched Matt Barkley have his ups and downs. We've watched Jarvis Jones play, where one of us has confidence in him and the other one doesn't. So you have all these ups and downs, and Eddie Lacy at Alabama, Manti Te'o, their name recognition has helped this become a big event because now these guys, for the most part, are drafting known entities that we, the public, already know and can get excited about. The NBA, on the other hand, doesn't have that because when they went through this phase where it's all foreign players, and you're sitting there going, they drafted who from Lithuania? Really?
Yeah.
And everybody's looking around scrambling saying, I don't know, I never heard of it. First of all, half the people in the room never heard of Lithuania. Okay, let's start there. Okay, that's a comment on the education system. Then they start to figure out who the dude is, and they don't know who the dude is, let alone the country.
See, I think when NBA TV does this, they need to put up a map, and then when the pick gets made, then you flash the countries from so people understand that part of it. Because I don't think I'd be able to pick out Lithuania on a map.
Well, I could, but that's a different story.
Yesterday, I wish maybe you'll remember the writer's name from all magazines, Rolling Stone, did his interpretation of the draft, and I listened to him.
Hunter S. Thompson.
Yeah, that's who it was. You are correct. I knew you would know the name, Steve. And he had some great insights into don't pass on the Samoan, or he talked a little bit about.
Or he I'd agree a with that.
Of, yeah, or he talked a little bit about, you know, some of the players who had a little problem with marijuana when they were participating in college, and some people stay away from for that, and he said, well, they were college kids, all right, and you know that why should we not draft somebody? And I think they brought up Dan Marino's name one time that he wasn't drafted by some of the teams because of that, and I'm thinking, boy, did you guys mess up? But he just had such a different insight into everything that the normal person, we weren't looking at his 40 speed or what his vertical leap was or what he could bench press, but they were looking at all the oddities about just human nature, and I thought that was pretty neat.
Well, I don't want to go into a draft interview with a player and say, you know, are you up for the game? And he looks at me and he says, I've been up all week. I sort of cross him off at that point. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, so to me, that's a dangerous answer to give.
Yeah, you're right.
But I think for the most part, there's too much emphasis put on the combine, and not enough emphasis about throwing in a DVD or in person saying, "Wow, that guy can play." To me, and I say this about the about March Madness, and I say this about the draft. To me, the eyeball test means a lot. Can that team play? Can they advance in the tournament? Can that guy play in the league? I don't really care how short his arms are.
Yeah. Well, I saw a great show the other night talking about some of the players that if they that were left go to the final rounds. And I, when I was a kid growing up, I used to like to watch the Colts and Raymond Berry and I'm trying to think of the Art Donovan were two people that the Colts drafted very, very late, and you know that they didn't think they'd have a chance. And I know Raymond Berry is considered one of the best wide receivers ever to play the game, and everybody knows Art Donovan tells some great stories. So it's
Bart Starr was a 17th round pick. Danny Abramowitz of the Saints was a 17th round pick. More modern, Tom Brady in the 6th round, Terrell Davis in the 6th round. You find people anywhere. And I remember when Brady was picked. My father-in-law is a huge New England Patriots fan. And I said to him, "You just drafted your future quarterback's going to win you a Super Bowl." And he looked at me, he says, "Oh, no." He says, "They got the Bishop kid from Kansas City." He says, "Hey, doesn't know the plays, can't play." I said, "This is the guy you want." I said, "You want Tom Brady." After they won the first Super Bowl, he called me up. He says, "You're right about Brady." I said, "Yeah, yeah, you're right about him."
Yep. Hey, well, listen, enjoy the show. I've been listening, and you just got to keep Kevin under control there, Steve. So,
hey, Chief, real quick, David, which way do you want to go? Which way do you want the Eagles to go tonight in the first round with pick four?
Well, I know they're going to take homeboy for. They're going to take that defensive lineman from Oregon. I know they are. They're going to take him in the first round. I almost think they're going to.
I think if Jokel or Fisher are there, they'll take Jokel or Fisher.
Okay.
Offensive tackle.
I don't care how the teams are. I've always been a Philadelphia fan, and I even root for the Sixers. So that tells you how maybe pathetic I am. I'm not
so
sure.
So you're the one.
Yeah.
Hey, David, it's 6-3 Pirates, and they're still in the top of the eight.
Oh, that's all right, Kevin. I've already written the game off. We'll wait till the weekend series. Then we'll get back on track.
Game over. Thanks, David.
Yep. Thank you. You guys have a good day. All right. Yep. Bye.
Dave,
now.
There's just something special about watching him twist in the wind. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment. Today's show brought to you by our good friend Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484 or go online to visit the New Orleans Saints fan personally at rewfinancial.com on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Well, all I know is that I've been thoroughly entertained in the break.
I've been thoroughly frustrated.
Look, I think that if Jokel or Fisher are there at four, the Eagles will go with one of those guys. If not, they'll go with Lane Johnson, the tackle from Oklahoma. Okay? All right. So I'm just telling you.
No, I think they go offensive line. I think that's the biggest need for the Eagles as well.
Also expect the Bears, if he's available, 20, to take Manti Te'o.
I heard that, and I was going to ask you about that, so I'm glad you mentioned that.
Expect the Browns to take Geno Smith. All right. Just a couple just to put together, which would then kill the idea that some people had that that the Browns are trying to get Ryan Mallett from the Patriots. All right. So, and then Tyler Eifert could possibly be a Carolina Panther in all this. Also, Tavon Austin of West Virginia, the Jets apparently covet him.
This could be the longest half inning in baseball history right now. Oh, there it ended, finally.
Are you okay?
It's 6-3. What do you think?
News is next.